Is life right now for you just one big calamity? I mean, things are falling apart. You're falling apart. Nothing is going right. You're straining. You're stressing. You're running. You're trying. You're doing. You're screaming. You're yelling. You're pounding. And nothing's working. Oh, beloved, have you thought about going to God? Have you thought that calamity is an opportunity to get to know God better and be rescued? Daniel chapter 9 tells us that Daniel had been reading the letter from Jeremiah. He knew that it was the word of the Lord, and he knew that they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And yet Daniel also knew the books. He knew those first five books of the Bible. He was a man of the word, and he was a man of prayer. It's obvious from this chapter, and it's obvious from his whole life, from everything that we have studied. Could it have been that because of those verses in Leviticus chapter 25 that says, if you don't do this, if you disobey me, and you do not turn around, then I will punish you seven times more? Was it that that threw Daniel on his knees in sackcloth and ashes and a gauntness because he had not been eating, because he was so distressed? Was Daniel so concerned that maybe the captivity or something else would end up being even longer, or the judgment would come on his people again because in their calamity they had not sought him as they should? He's confessing his sins. He's down on his knees. He is confessing not personal sins, but he is identified with his people. He's one of the exiles. He's identified with the exiles. He is identified with the people that were left in Jerusalem, with the people who did not listen to God and went down to Egypt after Babylon had conquered and Nebuchadnezzar had brought the temple to nothing but a bunch of rebel in 586 BC. He was writing to them, to anybody that would listen. He was identifying with them. And he was on his knees confessing their sin. And as we saw, and where we left off was in verse 8. So let's pick up verse 8. He says, open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Now, you have seen that the word sin is being repeated over and over again. And so that's another word that you want to mark. You're marking prayer, and you are marking covenant, and you want to mark sin. He says, to the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness. How am I going to find what I need in the midst of this calamity? I'm going to go to God. Because what belongs to God, what personifies God, is compassion. His compassions are new every morning. His mercies fail not. Jeremiah wrote that in the book of Lamentations. He said, you know, I was just dismayed, but then I discovered that your compassions are new every morning, that your mercies fail not. Why in your calamity don't you go to God? Why in your calamity don't you fast? Why in your calamity don't you put on sackcloth, so to speak, and ashes? In other words, why don't you humble yourself before God in your calamity? Why don't you ask God, God, what is the reason for this calamity? Why am I suffering like this? Is it because there's sin in my life? We've been going through some trials, and believe me, I have fasted and I have prayed and I have sought God and I have asked God to show me if there was any sin in my life. He showed me sins in my heart. He showed me sins in my attitude, not overt sins that you're going to see, but sins that God could see. And He showed me those things, and I confessed them and I forsook them. Has the calamity gone away? No, the calamity has not gone away, or the trial or the test has not gone away, but at least I know that I have clean hands, and at least I know I have a pure heart before God. And so He says, to the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness. You see, it does nothing for you to hide your sins. If we cover our sins, we'll not prosper, but if we confess and forsake them, then we'll find mercy. He says, for we have rebelled against Him, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His teachings, which He has set before us through His servants, the prophets. I want to ask you a question. Are you walking in the teachings of God? You say, what are they? What are they? You stick with me. You study. You read. You get the study guide. And you go along with us. You get the books that we offer, because they'll take you into the Word and they'll show you how to meet with God day by day. And you will know what the commandments of God are. You will know what the teachings of God are. And then you'll know how to live. You'll have His precepts for life. And through His precepts, you'll get understanding. He says, indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law and turned aside. The word transgress carries with it the act of rebellion. In other words, God sets a law and we say, I'm not going to obey that, or I'm not going to do that, or I'm sorry, it doesn't apply to me. But you see, you don't understand my circumstances. That's why I can't keep that law. I've got to divorce my husband. I've got to divorce my wife. I've got to do this because I just can't live this way. I just can't take anymore. Bless your little heart. What do you mean you can't take anymore? If you know God, you can take anything that the world throws at you, because you are endued with power from on high. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to know God. He says, indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law and turned aside, not obeying thy voice. So the curse has been poured out on us along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against Him. We have sinned. We have fallen short. We have not measured up to the mark, the standard that He has set for us as His people. We have sinned against Him. And so the curse that was spoken of by Moses through the Lord has come upon us. Let's stop for a minute and let's look at this curse. I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. Now, what you have is Deuteronomy is the last of the five books of Moses. It's called the Torah, or many people call it the Pentateuch, because Pente meaning five. Okay, but the Jews call it the Torah. It is the law. It is the sacred, sacred law that they are to ever keep before them. And when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 28, what you have is you have God setting before them life and death, blessing and cursing. And so He tells them about how He's going to bless them and what He's going to do if they walk in obedience to Him, if they cling to Him, if they obey Him. Now, I want us to start at verse 49. And the reason I want us to start at verse 49, because the chapter is 68 verses long and we would never get through it. So in verse 49, Well, I want to start in verse 45. So it says, so all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded us. He says, because, verse 47, you did not serve the Lord with joy. Have you heard? See, this is one of the things that the Lord showed me, that I was, that's what I was doing, that I was irritated, that things weren't moving the way I wanted them to move, and I was, have you ever, you know, it's a bad habit to get into. If you're not rejoicing, you're not doing it with joy. So I was doing what I was supposed to do with a, instead of with joy. He expects joy. He expects joy because of the joy that comes to his heart when we obey and we are here to live not for our pleasure, but for his. He says, because you did not serve the Lord, verse 47 of Deuteronomy 28, with joy and a glad heart, for the abundance of all things. You know, so many times, beloved, we stop and we look at what we don't have and we forget how much we do have. And you know, it's those that stop and look with gratitude at what they do have, at the fact, if nothing else, you're breathing. Hey, you're breathing today. Hey, you're alive today. Isn't that exciting? That means God's not through with you. That means God has a purpose for you. You say, but I am in a grump and I am mad with God. God still has a purpose with you. If he didn't, he'd take you out. But he hasn't taken you out. He's left you in. He's left you in this world, and he is able to keep you, and he is able to sanctify you, to make you holy through his truth. His word is truth. So quit and have joy, and I'll quit it too. It says, and you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you. You shall serve him in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until, time phrase, he has destroyed you. Listen, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar and from the end of the earth as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you did not understand. Now, what is the nation that comes against Israel, that swoops down as an eagle? It's Babylon. And what's Babylon's symbol? It's the symbol of a lion with wings on its back. A nation of fierce countenance who shall have no respect for you nor show favor to the young. And that's exactly the way Babylon was. Moreover, it will eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, or the increase of the herd, or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. In other words, they're going to come and besiege you. They're going to eat all your flock. They're going to take all those fields that are outside those walls, and they're going to live off of them while you're stuck behind the walls in a siege, and you are going hungry. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down. And that's what happened in 586 BC. In just a minute, we're going to return to this prayer and see what other gems and precepts for life you and I can gain so that we know what to do in our calamity.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it please come, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved. Well, we left off with the curse, didn't we? And Daniel was saying, God, you have brought upon us that which we deserved because we sinned. We sinned against you. You brought the curse that Moses said would happen. You know what we need to learn is we need to learn that God's word is true and that it will come to pass and that you cannot get around God. You cannot manipulate God. So what do you do when you sin? Well, you remember that compassion and forgiveness belong to Him. You humble yourself. You do what Daniel is doing. So in let me read verse 11 again so you can catch up where we are going to pick up, which is verse 12. It says, indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law and turned aside by not obeying thy voice. So the curse has been poured out on us along with the oath which was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he, God, has confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. Now you want to mark the word great calamity. Remember, we're marking the word prayer and we're marking the word covenant and we're marking the word sin. And now we want to mark the word great calamity. So I colored it brown and then I just put like red flames all around it. So he says nothing has ever happened like what has just happened to Jerusalem. I mean, this is the city of the one and only true God. This was the temple of God. This was the dwelling place of God. That's where God's name was. And God allowed a foreign power to come in and to destroy his sanctuary, to destroy his city, to destroy this earthly Zion that was a picture of the heavenly Zion. Nothing like that had ever been done before. It brought shame and reproach on the name of God and on the person of God because it made God look as if he could not defend himself, as if their gods, the Babylonians' gods, Babylon's gods, were stronger and mightier than he was. And he allowed that shame to come. And he goes on to say in verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity, you want to mark it again, that's right, has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from iniquity and giving attention to thy truth. Do you remember back in history? Do you remember what happened September the 11th when the Twin Towers were struck, when the Pentagon was struck, when there was a plane and it was headed for the White House, we believe? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember how the next day and the next week the churches were filled? And yet what happened? Then people began to turn away from God again. Again. Why? Didn't they realize that in calamity you are to go to God, you are to seek His face, and you are to stay there, and when you get up off of your knees after having communed with Him, then you are to walk and to live accordingly? Calamity can come because of sin. Calamity can come because of a nation's sin. It's not always personal sin. Calamity can come because of a nation's sin. Calamity can come because God is moving in His hand of judgment. Calamity can come because whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourgeth every son whom He receives. And so calamity can come because He needs to get our attention. Because we're children of God. God doesn't spank the devil's kids. God spanks us. You know, now He does judge the devil's kids, and He's going to do it. But I mean, you don't spank other people's kids, do you? No. You spank your own, or you should. You say, oh no, that's not right. Well, you haven't read Proverbs lately. I'm not talking about beating. I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about discipline. So just understand that. And just go through and read the book of Proverbs and mark everything that talks about children. Then go and read Hebrews. And as you read Hebrews chapter 12, look at it. It's the chastening chapter. So he goes on to say, you brought this calamity on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from iniquity. You've got to turn from your sin and giving attention to your truth, to paying attention to your word. Therefore, when you see a therefore, ask what the therefore is there for. So I put three red dots in the form of a triangle over a therefore. It's a term of conclusion. He says, therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous. Now he just made a very profound statement. So you see, so many times we say, if God were God, He would not allow calamity. He has just said He has brought this calamity because He is righteous. You see, a righteous God cannot let sin go undealt with. He cannot let it go unchecked. He cannot let it go unjudged. That's what the cross is all about. That's why Jesus Christ came and died, because God took all the sins of mankind, and He, as a righteous God, had to judge them. And so He put them on Jesus, and Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for you and me, beloved. So that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. God could not make you and I righteous without judging sin. It must always be judged. And he says, therefore, the Lord has kept this calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all His deeds which He has done, but we have not obeyed Him. And now, O Lord our God, who has brought thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has made a name for thyself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all thy righteous acts, let now thy anger and thy wrath turn away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all those around us. Oh, beloved, is this a prayer that you ought to be praying on behalf of your nation? Is this a prayer that you and I ought to be praying on behalf of the United States of America? He says, so now, oh, our God, listen to the prayer. Listen to the prayer. Mark that word prayer of thy servant and to his supplications. Now watch what he says. And for thy sake, oh Lord, let thy face shine on thy desolate sanctuary. You see it in its rubble. You see it's been wiped out. Oh God, for your sake, let your face shine on that desolate sanctuary. In other words, God, get us back to the land and let us rebuild that sanctuary. Take us back, O Lord, so that we can rebuild it for your sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes. See our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications. Mark it as prayer before thee on account of any merits on our own, but on account of thy great compassion. Beloved, when you're in calamity and you know that that calamity is part of your own doing, so often you are reticent to go to God because you say, I don't deserve to go to him. You're right. You don't deserve to him. You're not going to him on the basis of who you are because it's always grace. It's always unearned, unmerited favor from God. It's everything that Jesus Christ is and has won for you, made available to you. So you don't go on the basis of your merit or your lack of merit. You always go on the basis of who God is. And on the basis of his character, on the basis of his word. So when calamity comes, don't be like the children of Israel. Don't not seek him. When calamity comes, let that calamity knock you to your knees, because there you're going to find that you will be rescued. He says, we come before thee not on any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. I know you, God. I know you're a compassionate God. I know that forgiveness is with you. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and take action. For thine own sake, oh, my God, do not delay, because thy people and thy city are called by thy name. That's all you have to do, beloved, and your calamity, if you belong to God, is get on your knees and say, oh God, hear, because of who you are, because of your compassion, because of your forgiveness, and because, God, this is your child. This is your child. This is your covenant child, and you're a covenant-keeping God. Oh Lord, he says, hear, do not delay, because we are a people called by thy name. What a privilege you have as a child of God. And it's because you are his, and because no one will pluck you out of his hand, and because he's going to complete the work concerning you, that he will hear, he will answer, he will meet you in your calamity.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.